God's word for you, 1 Chronicles 17, 16 to 19. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far? And this was a small thing in your eyes, O God. You have spoken to your servants, you have spoken of your servant's house for a long time to come, and have seen me as the path of the man who ascends, O Lord God. And what more can David say to you for honoring your servant? For you know your servant. For the sake of your servant, O Lord, and according to your will, you have done all these great deeds in making known all these great things." Well, King David went in and sat before the Lord. Where did this sitting take place? This is also the record of 2 Samuel 7:18. There only seem to be two possibilities. First, David could have traveled the few miles northwest to Gibeon and entered with permission into the holy place, not the Holy of Holies, of course, where the lamps burned all night to the left and the bread in the presence, bread of the presence was set on its table to the right. Or, and I think this more likely, David actually went into the tent he had set up for the ark, which was perhaps near to his own palace at the, we think, north end of Old Jerusalem. And while this comes as a surprise, we can say that David did not offer unauthorized fire as Aaron's sons had done, and that it was a bold act. God did not strike David down for this entrance, even though he had said that even the high priest is not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover of the ark, or else he will die. That's Leviticus 16:2. Now, the temporary tent David had set up was not the most holy place, and therefore, as we have said, this was not strictly forbidden, but certainly a bold act. The Lord did not strike David down, but David prayed. The prayer begins with humility. Who am I? He knows that he has not deserved any of the blessings God has given him. What seemed like grand victories and the rise of the nation of Israel are just a small thing, he says, in your eyes. Verse 17 in his companion verse in 2 Samuel 7:19 have some challenging poetic terms. Here the main clause says, literally, you have seen me as a plate or turn of the man of the ascent, Lord God. We recognize that David is seeing this message from God through Nathan as a messianic prophecy. Now, I translated that same phrase, you have seen me as the path of the man who ascends, O Lord God. Here the human nature of God is clear, the form of a man, and the divine nature is also clear, as David emphasizes both natures of the coming Christ. He will be the Son of God with his throne established forever, and he is the Lord God. Now, the two natures of Christ are always connected when the Savior is described in the prophets and in the Psalms. Isaiah said, "To us a child is born." He's truly human. "And he will be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father." He's truly God. Isaiah 9:6. And then Jeremiah says, "I will raise up to David a righteous branch." He's truly human. "And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." He's truly God. That's Jeremiah 23:5-6. And we reflect this in our creeds. "For Christ is the Father's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit," and so on in the Apostles' Creed. And Augustine said, "He is God because he is the Word of God, man because flesh and a rational soul came together to the Word in the unity of the person." And yet, when Jesus, a man, was proclaimed as the Messiah on account of the many proofs that were offered, his words, his works, the confession of John the Baptist, and of the people of Israel, the Jewish leaders regarded the Lord's own confession as blasphemy. "Tell us," they said, "if you are the Christ, the Son of God." And he said, "Yes, it is as you say." This is all in Matthew 26. "For this they said that he was worthy of death." Matthew 26:66. But the Apostle John says, "Who is a liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also." That's 1 John 2:22 and 23. To deny that Jesus is the Son of God is to tear oneself away from the faith of David, proclaimed here in our verse, and away from the faith of Moses and Israel and Isaac and Abraham, who came before and believing the very same thing. The very angel who announced to Mary that she would be the mother of Jesus said, "The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God," Luke 1:35. And at his birth, the angel appeared in Bethlehem teaching the shepherds, "He is Christ the Lord," Luke 2:11. David goes on to say that he is honored by God for all of this news. First, because God has done these things for him. And second, because God has made this known to him and to others. This is a pattern we want to follow in our own praise for God. First, about what he has done. Second, that he has made this known to us. The first part is the action of God in the world. And the second is the word of God that proclaims what he has done. In our time, the scriptures provide both sides of this, but we can also praise God for his specific gifts and actions in our lives. Doing this helps our friends and co-workers to hear about God and to see that the Lord touches our lives directly, and that he blesses us in many ways every day. By taking our friends from this realization to, "Let me tell you what else Jesus has done," is a quick transition from their life to the cross, to the resurrection, and their own resurrection, and their own assurance of eternal life. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.